This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a holiday weekend.
It is a holiday weekend. I know some people were off yesterday. Some people are off on Monday. Some people took Thursday. Some people kind of bled the holiday into Wednesday. That's the thing. Isn't this the year that all the holidays land like on the weekend, and so like you don't get any like weekdays off now? Isn't this the year that fell really weird like that?
It is, and everybody's taking long weekends. Because they've already got problems, so everybody's just saying, which day do we get off? Do we get Friday or do we get Monday? What days do we get off? Everybody's talking about getting the day off, but here's the problem. There's nowhere to go, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can drive around the corner. You can, get out in the yard and have your picnic. But, boy, everything is shut down so tight. It's not going to be like our usual holiday, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know this past week there was a lot of spikes in COVID cases, and so now things are closing again. People are pulling back on reopening phases, and so I think we might be on the front edge of round number two.
That's what I'm afraid of, and they've shut all the restaurants down again. I mean, it is just not going to be like what we're used to. We're all used to July the 4th weekend, fireworks, parades. Oh, I love the parades. And that's all gone, folks. We're not having parades. We're not having fireworks.
Yep.
It's going to be a somber weekend unless you go out in the backyard and have a good time.
Depending on what you mean by backyard good time, if the cops come, it's not going to be that much fun. Trust me. I know.
That's right. Well, I know. And I know they are saying no fireworks, but mm-hmm. I know people do this all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that surely this virus is going to go away because of the heat in Texas alone.
Hopefully. Yeah, they say
our heat should bake it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that that they say is helpful in getting rid of it is the extreme heat.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping, because as hot as it gets here, there shouldn't be any germs left. I mean, the germs should just go away, automatically.
Yeah. Well, it's a good indicator when you think you have to go to the sun to cool down,
That's exactly right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and the sad thing is this is the big, I guess it's the first holiday of the summer season where we actually, I mean, the whole thing is truly a celebration. There's not a serious, meaning behind it. There's not a certain protocol that you have to follow. It really is. July 4th is the first big one where you can actually go and cut loose and, get on the water and barbecue something and, shoot off fireworks and have a good time. And now it's just not going to happen.
That's right. It's just it's going to be a strange weekend. It's not going to be the kind I've always had because, I am a parade goer. I'm a parade goer from way back. And I can remember last year, the grandchildren and I went to this wonderful parade. There was horses of every kind. There was little clowns riding little cars of every kind. There was every kind of thing in the world. There was a tractor in it. There wasn't anything that wasn't in the neighborhood parade. And the little kids sat on the ground. I mean, they had a good time. And the candy was marvelous. They threw out all this candy for them.
Mm.
And they came home with like a bucket full of candy.
Oh, wow. It's almost better than Halloween.
It was as good as Halloween, let me tell you. Everybody had their dog there. There's a lot of dogs at the parade.
Cool.
People always bring their dogs to the parade. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But I guess the dogs want to come. Anyway, I remember seeing quite a few dogs last year at the parade. there was some people playing their instruments going down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Every kind of little funny car in the world, you know. And a lot of people had decorated their pickups. They had the kids and the wife in the back of the pickup. The Boy Scouts came along the back of a pickup. And, you know, in Texas, it is about pickups. Everybody has their pickup decorated for the 4th. And just all kinds of neat things like that.
I know, right? It's like it's a whole way of life. And, man, it sounds like it was a lot of fun last year at the parade.
Oh, and the fire station brought the fire trucks.
Mm.
And the little kids love the fire trucks.
Yes, shine them all up. Nice.
Oh, yeah. And then there was beautiful horses, a lot of beautiful horses that were in the parade. And it's just amazing. You know, we're used to all that beauty and all that, and this is going to be a different deal.
I know. It sounds like it was a lot of fun, though, so that's cool.
It was a lot of fun. I can remember doing it as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think I remember ever. Now that I say that, I'll remember something, I'm sure, but I don't ever remember actual entire parades being canceled, fireworks being canceled. I don't remember so many things on such a wide scale ever really being canceled really for anything. I think this is the first time.
Well, it's gotten so bad that they're canceling everything. They're canceling restaurants, indoor dining. I mean, just you name it.
Yeah.
It's gotten really bad this week all over the United States.
Yeah.
In California, I saw where they were closing all these restaurants inside.
Yep.
They said, no, you can't come in. You can't come in. They said, it's just too bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in Midland alone, there's 800 cases.
Really? Oh, I didn't see that.
800 cases in Midland.
Oh, man.
Now, that is scary.
Yeah, it is. And it almost seems like the growth rate is much faster, more aggressive this time than it was the first.
I believe it is. And did you see that young guy that has since died? He said, I just went to the bar one time.
No, I didn't see that.
And then he died yesterday, but he came out the day before and said, I just went to one bar one time. He's 36.
Wow.
And he went to the bar for the night because he'd had it, and he did get it, and he died yesterday.
Wow, that is
yeah,
insane.
That's how serious it is. And
well,
they're saying you've got to wear a mask. I wear a mask if, you know, if I'm going to the drive-in at the barbecue place, it says you must have a mask on to drive up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a mask on to go get barbecue even.
Wow, even just through the drive-thru?
Oh, yeah, they want you to have a mask on. Now, some lady at a Fiesta grocery store yesterday had a meltdown. She's supposed to have had her mask on. She's got all these groceries in. I guess she got up the counter and they said, lady, you need a mask on. She started throwing everything.
Really?
She threw all the groceries in the floor. Oh, my gosh. She had a meltdown.
Well, that's not very helpful at all.
It wasn't helpful. It wasn't nice. That wasn't the proper thing to do.
No, it
she
wasn't
knew
nice.
She didn't have a mask on. She knew they required a mask. And they ask her about it, and then she just goes ballistic.
Well, I think some people just they're looking for trouble. I love the ones that the viral videos will show up, and you see somebody walking up to the store, and they're already, you know, raising canes, you know, somehow how they it's their right to not have to wear a mask, and then they get into a big fight with a store manager or restaurant manager or whatever the case is, and then all of a sudden it's on YouTube. It's like, come on, we know you did that for attention.
That's right. They want to be on television.
Yeah.
They want to be the star of attention, and they do these bad things. And what really gets me, I love men. You know, God love men. But they are being macho, and a lot of them are walking up to these places, and they don't have on a mask, and they're daring somebody to say something.
Yeah.
And it's just bad. The rest of us are wearing a mask. People with good sense are wearing a mask. And why do we have these few macho people that said, you can't make me wear a mask?
Yeah, Yeah, they're everywhere. They're like literally everywhere. And I don't know why. You see the scientists on TV, and I'm kind of like you. You know, you see all this information, and it clearly makes sense. It's clearly the right thing to do. You know, health wise, not only for yourself but for other people. And it, you know, then you hear stories like you were saying with that guy who just went to the one bar one time, and then that was it. And it's so bad. It is. It's very serious situation.
Why would you risk your life to go to a dadgum bar for a drink when you know it could kill you?
Right.
I mean, what it is, they don't believe us when we say it's really, really tough, and we've got to take precautions.
Yeah.
And they keep saying if everybody would wear a mask for 6 weeks, everybody across the country, that we could beat this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that's what I'm counting on. That's why every time I have my mask on.
You know, and every time we go through something like this, you always go back and you look at the data and kind of analyze so that next time, or if there is a next time, you kind of have an idea of what to do. And I saw the numbers from Italy this past week, and they were saying that, you know, they started out really, really bad. I mean, it was one of the leaders when it came to the virus spreading really, really quickly and being very, very deadly. And so they were in such bad shape right off the bat. But then they were saying, you know, now they're like, well, we didn't really realize what we were dealing with at first. When we did, pretty much most everybody in Italy got on board, wore their mask, and now they have some of the lowest numbers really in the whole world. It's fascinating how when people come together and do the right thing, even if not for themselves but for other people, it's really amazing how quickly things can turn around for the good.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm encouraging everybody, if you want to help, let's all wear a mask at all times. It's tough, but we can get through this if we'll all wear a mask.
We can. And if we start now, then maybe we can be done by the time we get to the holiday season, and we can all do our holiday traveling.
Let's get through by school time. Remember, we want these kids in school. We don't want all these little kids at home. Oh, my gosh. We don't want to do homeschooling, folks.
I hear the frustration in your voice. You've been through a situation.
I'm going to tell you something. It's tough when you're doing three little kids homeschooling, and you have to do Zoom, and it seems like they were calling, oh, well, we'll do Zoom this morning at 10. No, we're going to do Zoom again at 1. We're going to do Zoom at 3. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
it sounds like, what time is it at Faye's house? It's Zoom time.
That's right, and I'm ready for school to resume.
Yeah.
Now, this is what's really funny. My little grandkids, we have all their little uniforms. We've got all the little new shoes. We've got everything ready. And I said, it'd be our luck. They'll be right here doing homeschooling with their little uniforms on. We'll end up not even being in school. They'll be right here.
At least everybody will look nice. And
that's right. They'll all look nice. And they'll have on little uniforms. It may not mean much, but oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Okay, so the big news from this, well, there's, I don't want to say the big news. There's so many big newses. One of the big things is I saw the job numbers come out on Thursday, and I think they were saying that unemployment dropped by 11%, and I think there was 14 million jobs added, I think. It was pretty significant. Do you think that we are headed in the right direction? Because it's almost like a contradiction in terms, like we were just talking about. It seems like things are getting worse with the virus quickly, which means we could be into round two. But then you see job numbers come out, and I know there's a little bit of a lag, you know, between the data and what's happening. So do you think things are turning around financially, or what's happening?
I think a little bit, but there's still a tremendous amount of people that are unemployed.
Yeah.
And what they're saying now is when people go back to work, they may still work from home. Mm. They said that in the big cities, they may never go back to their offices.
Wow.
Which is shocking. They say they may never go back to the office every day like what we're used to because of, you know, everybody's been home so long that it's going to change the way people do business.
You know, I almost wonder if and it's hard to find, you know, something good. We're trying to find some kind of a silver lining somewhere in all this. I wonder if this whole process over the last several months and people working from home, I wonder if it will help save some companies who can on overhead costs so that people can work remotely, maybe, you know, supply them with some equipment, but you're not paying for these huge buildings unless you've got a big loan that you got to pay off. But, you know, it might help reduce a little bit of overhead, which means maybe they could bring some people back if they could get rid of some of that overhead. Am I just stretching for something good here, or is that possible?
No, I've wondered about that too. Now, the only ones that will really be affected is ones that have got huge leases and can't get out of that lease.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, if they can get out of their lease, they may downsize and have a smaller building and not have so much overhead by the huge building. Mm-hmm. And, of course, retail, they're looking for ways to get out of those leases and do, get out of the big box stores. And a lot of them are going broke anyway, you know. So I think retail is another place you're going to see a drastic change. You're going to see the way retail is done is not going to be anything like what we're used to. People now like to buy online, so they don't need the big box stores. They can all have smaller stores because everybody's doing it online anyway. They're not going to the store like they were, because now you have to social distance to even get in, and most of them say, it's curbside, folks. It's curbside.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see a lot of difference. I don't know. Think about all the law firms during this time. You know, all those huge buildings. Their people were at home. I'm still doing business with lawyers, and they're at home.
Yeah.
They're not in the office.
They're
so
working.
A lot of this, a lot of this may change. They could certainly downsize their buildings, and I think a lot of people could. If it works out like what we're afraid it will, they won't need such big elaborate buildings or big leases. They can get in smaller leases and cut their overhead maybe.
Yeah, and I know like Midland and Odessa, I know that there was a lot of, really over the last several years since the last bust ended, you know, we had that big boom for a little while. I know that there was a lot of new buildings, you know, like Chevron and lots of other buildings where companies were building these big show places. I wonder if not even just, you know, in West Texas, but all over the place, if people are stuck with these brand new show places, or if they can get out of them, or if they're just stuck with vacant, abandoned properties.
I think they're stuck with the ones they built. You know, they've got those. But a lot of the others are probably trying to get out of their leases. You know, if they did a great big lease thinking they were going to need all that space, and they may not. Now, and I don't know which oil company it is. I haven't found out yet. But out here where I live, you know, in Argyle, Texas, you know how small Argyle is. We have one highway goes through Argyle. I mean, one little highway, two lanes. They're building an office building. We have no office buildings here. We have nothing. They're building a little two-story office building for an oil company from Midland.
Really?
Right here, right close to the little drugstore. And we're all in shock. We're going, oh my gosh, a little office building.
Wow, what is this brick and mortar thing? What is this construction? You're used to wide open space.
We have nothing here. We have no downtown. You know, it's like horse and buggy type deal. And then we have this little office building going in.
I'm surprised that got approved, you know?
Oh, I think it took a long time because I heard rumors that they had to have all kinds of things to even get approved on that corner.
Wow. I bet
yes.
Because people are used to wide open spaces and, you know, just the freedom of the open country. And so then you start building one, and then you know what's happening. Well, then you get two, and then you get three. And then, you know, just before you know it, you're surrounded by the concrete jungle.
Well, maybe they could put in a grocery store eventually.
Is that a request or a prediction?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice if you had a real grocery store in town.
Yeah.
But we don't. We don't have a grocery store.
No. Oh.
But we do have a post office. We have a post office.
Well, that's important. So you got something. So it counts. It's legit.
That's
now
right.
That you got a post office.
And no downtown. You don't have a downtown.
Well, that's kind of nice, too, you know? Kind of keeps you relaxed and connected with nature.
There you go. Well, and, you know, it's out in the country. So, you know, everybody's pretty happy. Maybe they don't want a grocery store or anything else.
Maybe. And you got internet, so you got your Zoom. You got, you know, you got everything you need, pretty much.
That's right. We've got Zoom. I mean, we've got the llamas, and that counts.
They'll put you in a good mood if you're having a bad day. Just go down and scratch their chin.
That's right, because they're happy all the time. They're glad to see us.
So what do you think is the deal? What are we looking at going forward? Are we looking at, you know, extreme like a crash like, you know, 1929 or even the one in the 80s? Or are we looking at, you know, people thriving, or is there just more of the same uncertainty? And
I don't know. I think it's going to be a new deal. I think it's going to be different than what we're used to. I think it's going to take time to crawl out of this hole. For some companies, and then there's some companies that have not been affected at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank goodness we're not in the restaurant business. We're not in, you know, any of those type of businesses that are struggling that may not survive. You know, the biggest Pizza Hut franchisee has declared bankruptcy.
Really?
He owns more Pizza Huts than anybody in the world, and he's declared bankruptcy.
Oh, wow.
So, there's some businesses that will never recover. Some of them are going to be different. We won't have as many restaurants as we used to. There won't be as many choices of other things. But now, like car companies, they're doing great. They don't have enough cars to sell. So that's one industry that we know is doing well. Retail is going to be different. We know that because, like Pier 1, we've depended on them. They're going out. Penny's. And, of course, Neiman's is in bankruptcy. So it's going to be a whole new world as to what we'll have available to us and who's going to be making a good profit. I think oil and gas companies are going to recover because, you know, oil's back up to $40.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen the latest numbers.
Yeah, it was 39, I believe, yesterday.
Cool.
So, you know, that's going to come back. It's going to be slow. But I think it's going to come back. Remember, out here in Midland, Odessa, there's millions of acres that's leased.
Mm-hmm.
And as it comes up, you know they're going to keep drilling.
Yeah.
They always have. But they have these real bad depression deals, and then they come back every time.
So with so much bad news and so much, you know, I guess uncertainty with what's going on in the market, and like you say, a new normal for a lot of businesses, it also goes for people's wealth management and you know how they grow their money. And you know, I think a lot of people, and you can obviously attest to this better, but a lot of people are looking for different investment opportunities other than Wall Street. And so, do you think that life settlements will start to become the new normal for a lot of people? And are you seeing any trends already in that direction?
I have. I've seen a lot of it. There's three new life settlement providers in Texas. They're coming to Texas. They're, you know, Texas has always been a great place to have a business and to work. So there's three new companies have come to Texas to do life settlements. So it tells you where we're at in the life settlement business. It's getting bigger and bigger. You know, it's like $10, $20 billion a year business.
Oh.
They say it will be a $60 to $70 billion business. The mutual fund companies are doing it. Everybody's doing it now because they see that it really works and that if you do it right, it's a great business for the clients and for people like me too. Because during all this downturn, you know, our business didn't turn down. Our clients' money stayed the same. Their investments were still there. You know, everything is solid. You know, it's in an insurance policy. Thank goodness it's not in Wall Street. We don't have to look at Wall Street. We're not involved in Wall Street. So that's what's kept their money safe, is that we've never been in Wall Street, that we're buying insurance policies on people who are really sick, and that's how we make our money. That's how our clients make their money. And during this time, as you know, from January till April, we had $9 million in maturities.
Wow.
9 million matured.
That's incredible.
And we still like two policies getting those. And we're closing on about 3 million in new policies. We've waited for 3 weeks for contracts. That's our only problem, his contract's getting him back from people right now is really slow, and I don't know why. But this next week, we should get all of these closed out and get our contracts done. That's what we're waiting on, is contracts from the seller. And we've got about $3 million of contracts we'll be doing this next week. So our business has been great. It's steady. It's smooth. It has not been affected, but it's not affected by war, which we know about. It's not affected by the pandemic, and it's not affected by the riots and all these terrible things going on across the United States. So our business is steady.
So what do you say to the devil's advocate here, I guess, in this particular situation? You say, okay, Faye, I'm looking around. I'm seeing all the news reports. You know, I'm looking at my own portfolio if I'm in Wall Street. I'm looking at, you know, all these other things that are going on. You look at the entire landscape as a whole, and you see that most industries are affected. There's very few people who are not affected in some way by what's going on. And so they say to you, Faye, I see all these things that are not great for a lot of companies. They're losing money. How is this such a different situation? How do we know that, like, a life insurance company won't go through the same thing, lose money, and can't pay?
Well, it's never happened. And, of course, they have money set aside for every policy. Remember, they have to put up reserves. It's called reserves. They have to put up reserves to cover these policies going in. And so they have to be prepared to pay for all these if they came due, which they're not going to all come due at once. But they do have reserves, and they're worth billions and billions. None of the companies that we do business with have less than, like, $50 billion. Most of them got $100 billion or more.
Wow. That's pretty significant.
Huge companies, and they're all A-rated. And, you know, we could do business with those B-rated companies. We could buy policies for 3 cents on the dollar. But we haven't ever taken that risk. We've never taken that chance. And there's been some really good policies that I've wanted to buy that were B-rated, but we did not do it. So I think that's what the companies we do business with are the biggest and the best. And that's why we're using them. That's why we're buying policies that they hold the paper on.
It's investing in a life insurance policy, and I know it's a little bit different. Well, it's a lot different than probably what most traditional investors are used to. I'm sure that people come to you for the first time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure they come to you the first time, especially now, and they say, oh, man, I'm really nervous about this. You know, I've lost a lot of money in Wall Street. I've just, you know, been throwing my money away, just taking it in the backyard, setting it on fire, you know, and so it's just not making me anything over all these years. I'm really nervous that I'm not going to make anything with a life insurance policy. It just doesn't seem like it. So how does it work? Why is it so profitable for people?
Well, because we're buying it at a discount. We're not paying them face amount for their policy. You know, we're buying it at a discount, and then our clients are making the difference. And, you know, they're averaging about 24% right now. We pay 1% a month. That's more than anybody in the industry, by the way. So if it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's a 20-month policy, they'll make 20%. Or 12-month, they'll make 12%. And, you know, these are not long-term policies. Most of them, you know, are 24, 30 months, something like that. Some of them are a lot quicker than that. A lot of times they're 18 months, 15 months. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it's agreed to, when that person passes away, you get paid. So it's a simple process. You know, it's not like Wall Street. It's not like any other investment. It's not like real estate. You know, real estate can go down. Real estate is great when it's up. But a lot of times land goes down, and you can't sell it for what you thought you could. And this is different. We buy the policy at a discount. When it matures, the insurance company is going to pay face amount. If it's a $1 million policy, they're going to pay $1 million. They're not going to ask for a discount. So that's how people get paid, and that's why it's profitable. That's why people have made a lot of money doing this. And that's why all the new people coming in, that's the first question to ask. You know, how soon can I get invested, and how much will I make?
Do you find that investors have a difficult time, especially when they've spent so many years in Wall Street, do you find that they've got a difficult time grasping the concept that with a life insurance policy, there are no variable values? It holds steady. It doesn't go up or down. It doesn't fluctuate.
Well, I think they do after we explain it to them that this is a life insurance policy. It's got a set face amount, and that's what you're going to get when it matures. And then the other thing is we've done everything we can to make it safer. You know, the bank handles your money. The bank acts as trustee on every contract we write. Mm-hmm. So the bank is responsible for getting the premiums paid. We escrow an extra 12 months on every policy. So if the policy goes over, you're covered for 12 extra months.
So explain just real quick how when you say it's like 24-month policy, what that means is that that's how long the doctors and the experts think the original life insurance policy holder will – that's when they think the policy will expire, right? You know, they think
that's,
they have about 24
months. That's when they think they're going to die, yes.
All right.
They have got all the medical information. They know how many times they've been in the hospital, how many cancer drugs are on. They know everything. And they say, okay, we think this person is going to make it 24 months.
And explain this, because I find this really, really fascinating to me. When we say 24 months, if because obviously it's not like requesting an appointment or a delivery day and a time. We don't actually know for sure with 100% accuracy. Obviously, they're trained professionals, they're doctors, they know what they're talking about. But sometimes a policy, instead of going 24 months, it might expire or it might come due in, say, 18. The thing that people need to know is that, especially when it comes to the value, it's the same. But also, if the policy comes in early, they still get that 24 months. It's not just whenever it happens to come due is when you get paid and how much. It still holds that value.
That's exactly right. If it comes in early, you're going to get 24%. If it comes in on time, it's 24. If it's late, it's 24, minus whatever premiums that you might have paid. So, but you're going to get the amount that's in the contract at all times. Nobody will ever ask you to take a discount. You always get your money.
You said that much better than I did, by the way. So what happens if a policy goes over? You know, we know if it comes in early, they still get the same amount. What happens if it goes over?
If it goes over, it goes over a year over, then you have to pay premiums. And usually the premiums are very reasonable. As long as they're not those old policies we've got, yes, it'll be very, very reasonable. It'll be under 3%.
And without really knowing it, we've kind of gotten into to a couple of the risks of a life settlement. And that's the big one, is if it does go over. We also touched on life insurance companies, that would be one of the risks, too, if one of them were to go under. But you say that's just it's just not even a thing.
No, it's not anything to even worry about, because the insurance companies have got more money than anybody. They have got so many billions and billions. You can look them up. I mean, they have got billions of dollars. Their income per year is staggering. It's staggering. There's all this premium that comes in. Then they've got all the policies that they never pay off on. People let them expire. They don't sell them. They just let them lapse. And when they do, that's profit, pure profit.
Yeah, it's here's some money. Take it, put it in a bank, do with it whatever you want to. You're never going to have to pay that back. So, okay, so that's two. And then the third one is has to do with liquidity of the investment, right?
That's right. This is an investment that is not liquid during the investment. Everybody knows that, or should. I know all of our people are accredited, so they would know that. Is that when you put the money in, it's not liquid till it matures. Then you can take the money out, or you can reinvest it, whatever you want. But it's not liquid during that 12 or 24 months.
Now, you threw out something there real quick that all the investors are accredited. So what does that actually mean, to be accredited?
You must be accredited for this one investment. In other words, you've got to make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, either one, without your house. The government does not allow you to count your house. So you must be accredited. and you've got to make either $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without the house. Now, if you're not, you can do an annuity. Annuities do not require the same; they're not under the same government terms. In other words, you can do an annuity. You can put $100,000 in annuity. They will check to see how much you make. They will make sure you don't have too much debt to be doing this. And as long as your debt ratio to income is okay, they'll do an annuity. Remember, an annuity is a contract, a retirement contract that's going to pay you money when you retire. You can take 10% a year out the rest of your life, or you can take a lump sum. At the end of 3 years, if you had an emergency, you can take it all out. But annuities are steady. They pay well. And a lot of people love annuities. We have a lot of people that have annuities. So if you're not accredited, you can do an annuity. If you're accredited, you can do this.
Between the two options, life settlement or annuities, which of the two would you say is probably more attractive and most popular with investors?
Well, of course, life settlement is most popular because it pays more. But I have a lot of people, older people, that they want an annuity, and they want to be sure exactly how much they're going to get per year. And if they want a deal where they say, okay, I want you to send me a check. I've got a lot of widow ladies, and most of my widow ladies have got annuities. They started with me years ago, and they've all still got their annuities. I've got one that's fixing to turn 86 years old.
Oh, wow. Cool.
She retired in Temple, Texas from a newspaper. She's been with me all these years. She called me the other day, and she said, do you think I should sign my annuity over to my son? She said, what if I get sick and have to go to a nursing home? And I said, you're okay. You'll be all right, you know?
And she's 86.
She's 86. Her mind is still great. And she has three annuities with me. She's drawn down two annuities. She's still got $100,000 in one annuity she's never touched.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And, you know, her house is paid for. She retired from the newspaper when I met her years ago. She put her retirement with me, and it's been there ever since.
That's awesome. So no matter how you look at it, there is an option for just about everybody to grow their money, go ahead and get ready for retirement, and even in these uncertain times, still make money when other people are losing money hand over fist, right?
That's right. And if you want something that's solid and dependable, I think our investments are solid, they're dependable, and people who, you know, don't want to stay in the panic of the stock market up and down, and I talk about that a lot. You know, it's up, it's down, you never know where you're at.
Yeah.
And if you've lost $50,000 or $100,000, if you can stand the losses and you want to go on that way, that's fine. But if you want to say, look, I want to stop the losses, stop the unknown, come on over and see if you like us. If you like us, we'll be glad to do this for you.
Do you find that most people are in that situation? They've lost too much money, and so this is a reactive move to start into life settlements? Or do you find that it's more of one of these things where a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I see what could happen before I get to it. I want to be proactive and kind of start to switch over. Which approach do most people have?
I think a lot of people are at the age they want to switch. They're in their 50s, they're in their 60s. And they're saying, you know, I've been in Wall Street a long time. I think it's time to make a move. I want everything to be solid before I retire. Then I've got a lot of people are retiring this year. A lot of the companies are laying them off, and they're just going to go ahead and hang it up.
Okay.
So I've got several people that are also selling their business right now. They have come to me. They're putting money with me out of their business, the sale of their business. So I've got several different types of people that are coming to us right now wanting to invest in life settlements.
So a lot of people coming from a lot of situations. There's a lot of scenarios that can play out here.
That's exactly right. There's so many ways that we've got people coming. As I said, a lot of people have been laid off, and they've given them a certain length of time to take that money and invest it. They're coming over. I've got some people that are selling their businesses. And then we have got the new client in California that's a friend of one of our clients here in town.
Cool.
And he's in and out of Midland, and he called and said, look, you know, my friends told me about you. I want to put some money with you. So he did.
A lot of word of mouth business. That's cool. That says lot, too. So
we have a lot of word of mouth. In fact, most of the people that call say, Faye, so-and-so said they've got their money with you. They're happy. We'd like to put some money with you.
Fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And people should also know your website is American Financial Midland, and people can go and find investment information, find out what people have made, you know, because you keep some of the numbers up there so people can actually see real profits, read testimonials, read about the whole program, and kind of get a good idea of what's happening. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So I don't know if I should ask. I feel like I know, but what are we talking about today?
we're gonna talk about Independence Day.
Yay!
July the 4th is the celebration of Independence Day.
Yeah.
And if you, as you know, the Continental Congress declared the 13 American colonies were no longer subject to the British on July the 4th, 1776.
Cool.
I mean, you know, we always have to think about that. This is Independence Day. This is Independence Weekend. America was started, as a wonderful celebration of life and of liberty. And I still believe in the flag. I believe in America. I love America. People have died for this flag.
Oh, yes. Thousands, millions probably.
Millions of people have died to protect our flag and our freedom. And I think it's foolish for anybody that doesn't believe in America. They should leave America and not be here.
Could you imagine what they would have gone through when they all decided, you know, they had the, and I know I'm oversimplifying this and turning it into a cartoon almost, but when they had their little meeting, you know, over in England and said, hey, you know, let's get on a boat, let's sail to a whole nother place and start a whole new country by ourselves. Could you imagine the uphill battle that they were facing and the dedication they had to have in order to even entertain something like that?
Well, and can you imagine, a lot of them were wanted in England for everything in the world, and they wanted to start a new life, they wanted freedom, and they came here, and people have died for this freedom. They went to Plymouth Rock, they started with nothing, they almost froze to death and starved to death the first year, and if the Indians hadn't helped them, they would have starved to death.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know anything about, hunting. They didn't know about all these things. So it was really, really important. And then as time has come along, freedom is not free.
That's true. We hear it all the time, but it's more than a slogan.
It's more than a slogan. And our boys, our men, have given their lives to keep us free. And when I see people disrespecting the flag of the United States, I want to kick their butt.
Yeah.
I mean, putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Because it means something to me. I think it means something to every Texan. You know, Texas is an independent thinking place.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And we all believe in motherhood, apple pie, you know, and we believe in our flag. And 4th of July really means something to us here. You know, we are celebrating our independence. And I just can't imagine that people would not be thankful they live here rather than Russia or Poland or somewhere.
I'm sorry, I got stuck on apple pie, and I got thinking about ice cream.
Well, once I mentioned apple pie, it was over. You said, well, there we go. And the other thing is the Star Spangled Banner.
Mm.
You know, I mean, this was written by Francis Scott Key, in defense of Fort McHenry. Do you remember that?
Some of it?
Yeah. I mean, everything was going off. Everything was happening. The battle was raging. And he was a 35-year-old lawyer. And it was September 14th, 1814, when he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner.
Really?
Our national anthem.
Wow. That's amazing. And I'm sure he probably had no idea. He was just jotting down some poetry and had no idea it would turn into what it is now.
No, it was a poem that he wrote. And, you know, he jotted it down from everything he saw at Fort McHenry that day. So everything that's happened in our country, you know, really means something to most of us. You know, the freedoms that we have, you can do anything that you set out to do in America.
That is true.
I mean, you can be anything, you can do anything, but you have to get up off your butt and do it. You can't say, well, poor old me, woe is me. And you know, Mount Rushmore means something to me.
Yeah.
We've got all those presidents there. And look how long it took to etch that out. Look how many years it took the man to chisel out the faces of the presidents.
Yeah. It fascinates me because those are those heads are so huge compared to the people that were carving them out. It's like, you know, I would imagine probably three or four people stacked on top of each other would be like the height of like one of their noses. So it's amazing how you keep all that stuff in perspective and can see the big picture of what you're chiseling when you're really so small and right up on it. It's amazing how that was actually done.
Texas. Horses are important. One of the office buildings close to me has all these horses running, bronze horses, you know, and we love beauty here. We love things like this. And then you go to Washington, D.C., the People's House, and we have all these monuments there, and they're beautiful monuments. And that's what they are. They're beautiful monuments. And I cannot imagine that people would tear down monuments that people work so hard to carve.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't understand that. Because America is a beautiful place. We should have beautiful parks with beautiful statues in them. You know, we weren't here when these statues are done, but I think they're gorgeous. I think they're very pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And like Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. That's part of our history. It's important to know. That's part of our independence. Is Christopher Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't discovered America, folks, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly. Who knows where we'd be?
Yeah. And to tear down a statue of Christopher Columbus or anybody, I think it's bad manners.
Bad manners.
It's just bad manners.
That's one way to put it. I hadn't heard that perspective.
I mean, you know, it shows your upbringing. I hate to say that. It shows where you're coming from, frankly. So, I think that Independence Day should really be celebrated in full force because without it, we wouldn't be here.
So instead of fireworks,
the people who came before us, yes,
going to have a little quiet celebration at the house tonight, or what's happening?
It's going to have to be a little bit quiet. I don't like it, but it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that when this is over, all the things we've not been able to celebrate this year, that we can celebrate them. You know, just even if it's fall, we can go back and say, okay, now we're going to have these celebrations we've missed.
You know, we could take a whole week in the fall and say, okay, on Monday, we're going to celebrate July 4th. On Tuesday, we're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day or whatever it was. And then, you know, kind of go through whatever holidays we missed and celebrate them all in 1 week.
I think it would be fun myself.
Yeah.
You know, because we're missing so many things. They've closed so much that it's just limited what we can do this weekend. And they're not selling fireworks. They're not selling all the things that we would usually use. And, you know, little kids love fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Big kids do, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we all love them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've always had John Sousa, the band, playing. You remember Williams, the guy that is usually on television. He wrote all these beautiful things. They play all that on the 4th of July. And that's always televised. And that won't be televised this year.
Oh, really? It won't? Oh, I didn't know that.
Not as far as I know.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's always been these great, great concerts. And we have concerts in the parks everywhere, you know, on the 4th of July. So a lot of this is just not going to happen because people can't be standing that close to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you say, in the fall, we could do all that. We have a lot of concerts, have a lot of great peppy music like we like, the Star Spangled Banner, you know, America the Beautiful. That's another great song, America the Beautiful, that we celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all these people that wrote these, you know, they had no idea we'd still be celebrating their music in 2020. Can you imagine?
I know it.
These songs have stood the test of time.
They're kind of like Christmas carols. You know, you write them.
That's exactly right.
And they just stick around. They become iconic.
They are. And, you know, people want to replace everything. I guess the Easter Bunny will be next.
Not the Easter Bunny.
That's right. I've got three little bunnies and two adults in my yard. Yes, I have three little bunnies and two adults.
Do you really? Oh.
I do, and they're so cute.
My goodness.
And they come out every morning and check everything out, and they play outside for a while, then they go away. They go under the gazebo. I think they've got a little hole under there, under the gazebo, and they go back underground.
You know, you have, and to hear you describe, you know, between the rabbits and the llamas and all these other things that are happening, it sounds like almost you've got the makings of an amazing, fun children's book here with all these wildlife adventures.
Well, I think we might have.
It's another career opportunity.
That's it. Another career opportunity, another way to do something. But anyway, Independence Day is a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Everybody should celebrate as much as they can. At least get out in the pickup and drive around a little bit.
Mm, yeah. As long as we do it safely.
Yes, we've got to do it safely. And everybody keep your mask handy because it is really important. Don't go out here and think, I'll just celebrate without the mask one time. Because this guy did it one time, and he's now dead.
Yeah, that is
36 years old.
I hadn't heard that until
yeah, he
told
went
me.
To a bar because he thought, oh, it won't hurt. I'll be okay. And somebody had the virus at that dadgum bar, and he caught it, and he died very quickly.
And he didn't have a mask, right?
Did not have a mask.
Wow. What a shame.
And hopefully. I really believe in masks, you know. I mean, I don't like them, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. It's important. It's a matter of life and death, even if not for yourself, maybe for somebody else, you know. Because somebody gave it to him, you know, on the other end. So.
That's right. And the other guy that went to this wedding, and everybody said, don't go to the wedding. And he's now been sick for 60-something days.
Oh, man. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. And it affects men a lot worse than does women. That's why I don't understand why men, a few of them, are not wearing a mask.
Yeah. Well, real men wear masks.
Real men wear masks.
Yeah.
Real men open the doors for their wife. They do lots of things.
Or they should do lots of things.
That's right. They should. I mean, you're blessed to have them, folks.
We've seen some who don't, and they're just downright scoundrels.
They are. They're just scoundrels.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. We're right next to Ivy Cottage.
So most people have lives to live, hopefully. They're busy these days. They don't necessarily want to be, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thinking about investments, doing things, monitoring things, getting up in the middle of the night to check their portfolio with their life settlements. So how is this not fitting into that scenario? How is a life settlement so much easier, so much well-informed, and so little maintenance, and yet still so profitable? How is that happening?
Well, the way it works is you put your money in. Let's say you invest $100,000 or $50,000. You put it in the policy. You sit back and wait for it to mature. And most people have got six policies, eight, 10, 20, whatever. And so you've got something coming due most of the time. So when you put your money in, okay, if it's a 24-month, you don't have to do anything for 24 months. You know that about 24 months you're going to get paid. You may get paid a little earlier. You may get paid a little later. But you don't have to watch it every day. You don't have to get up at midnight and check the value. You know it's there.
Literally, people can set it and forget it.
You can set it, forget it. It's a long-term investment. You're going to roll it over many times.
Do people ever?
And you can do it whether you're retired. You can do it whether you're working. It's not going to affect your work week. It's not going to affect what you do every day.
Do you find that people sometimes set it and forget it too much? They forget they have it. All of a sudden, the policy matures.
Never.
You tell them.
And the ones that have recently retired, man, they're on it all the time now. I mean, when they're working, they make the investment. I don't hear from them, you know. But now that they're retiring, I time. You know, once they retired, they don't have anything else to do. So they're double up on what they do, okay?
So I know everybody's situation is different. You know, their starting point is different. Their end goal is different. The time frame that they're looking at to retire is different. Some may be going 5 years. Some may be, you know, 15 until they retire. So everybody's situation is different. But generally speaking, how many policies do you recommend people being in? How much investment does that turn into dollar-wise? And then when should people start planning on having some returns come in?
Well, you know, usually it's 2 years, 18 months, 24 months on their first ones. So they should have several. You should have a minimum of six. Most people have got 20. You know, I've got one guy that's working toward 30. He just says, I want 30 altogether. And so, you know, that's okay. Because you can pull it up at any time. If somebody says, I want to see my portfolio, we do a portfolio deal. We show them what they started with on matured policies. We show them all the matured ones, what they've made on the matured ones, what they've still got to mature, and how much that's going to be. You know, we can give them everything they need to know at any time. It takes a couple of days, but we do that for people all the time.
So if we were going to summarize this type of investment, a life insurance policy, would it be accurate to say some of the highlights are fast turnarounds, nice profit margins, relatively conservative, big payoffs, big turnarounds, and large growth of wealth over time? Is that accurate?
Oh, over time, I'd say the wealth is there. It's going to take 7 or 8 years. It's not going to be instant to make you wealthy. But if you can come in and you say, hey, I've got $250,000, we can start with that, or $400,000, doesn't matter what you start with, it's going to increase. And, you know, if policies come in 24 months or they come in 18 months, every time we roll those over, if you've got several, it makes it a lot easier to get to your goal.
And it also seems like one of these things is a lot of people start to get closer to retirement. They start getting a little bit gun shy. They start saying, hey, Faye, you know, the closer I get, you know, I don't want something terrible to happen like 2008. I don't want to lose everything that I've been working for the last, you know, 10 or 15 years right before retirement. A life insurance policy is something that people can do well in advance, during retirement, and then even after retirement without missing a beat or the worry of losing all of it and have to go back to work, right?
That's exactly right. If they have a steady income like this, they're not going to have to go back to work. If they're in the stock market and it does have a serious downturn, you know, they might have to go back to work. They might have to start over. You know, we have people that never recovered from 2008. Most of them recovered in 5 to 6 years. But I had two or three couples never retired. They went back to work. They've been working ever since, and that's a shame. But they relied on everything being in the stock market, and I don't think you should ever do that.
Yeah, you want to be diversified.
You want to be diversified. I want to be conservative.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes a difference.
Are there policies on the horizon for people who want to get started now?
Yes, we'll be getting policies in this week. We've got a lot of them bid. We should be getting a lot more of them.
Okay. All right. So what about appointments? Are you open this coming week? Are you still doing Zoom meetings? How's
I'm doing Zoom meetings. I'm going to tell you, it's easy. Y'all can do it, you know?
You get really excited about this technology, I'm telling you.
I do it all the time.
All right. So for people to get started, make an appointment. One last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.